The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. Indeed, we're live. And it's a beautiful day again outside today. Hopefully you get a chance to go out and really enjoy it. I intend to. It's, if nothing more, to sit on my deck because we've got a beautiful back area here. So enjoy the day. We have a program for you that is backed by popular demand, one that we've presented over time, meaning at least a year or so ago. And we're going to do it again, and it'll be the topic of our in-house continued education program this Wednesday, the 27th of July at 7 p.m. at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax. And what are we talking about? We're talking about a program called Public Enemy Number One, Sugar Addiction. And who best to deliver it? Well, the creator of the program and the one that has the best insight, Dr. Scott Lamp. Dr. Scott, welcome. This is a program that you should be getting better and better at. I think this is the third time that you've done it in-house, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's one that's popular, strong demand, and we're here to see what we can do to help with the masses.
You know, the interesting thing is that over the years, we're seeing more and more problems with sugar. And what I mean by that is that sugar's in everything. And the reason that we have so much of it, and, you know, artificial sugars and regular sugars and sugars that taste like sugars, and, you know, it goes on, simply because of the fact that it's addictive. And, okay, you know, I want to talk about that addiction process a little bit as we go through, but it truly is, you know, probably worse than somebody that goes out and sticks you up and steals everything from you, because this thing causes a degradation of the immunological system and destroys the body over a period of time. You know, let me ask you kind of a global question with this. In a true sense of conversation, how bad is this in Western society relative to people, you know, getting over it? Why is it such an addiction? Why is it one that causes so many problems?
Well, I think some of the things that happens with it, there's almost an opioid type reaction to when you're having sugars, that sometimes that'll bring up, they talk about it, what they call it, there's a neurotransmitter, dopamine response, and we get that and it feels good. And the thing is when we have something that feels good, we want to go back to that source again. And the interesting thing with sugar is not just the aspect of just eating it. And you know, Tom and you were talking, you and I were talking earlier before the show here, about how much things, even with the COVID responses, you know, I ask people, it's one of the questions I ask, and I'll ask, just tell the audience, is like, you know, how many different ways can you put sugar in your system? And one's obviously you can eat it, consume it, you can get a reaction from medications from it. But you can also stress it. You can, when you do the stress mechanisms and the chemicals that are associated with the stress mechanism, dump sugar in your system. And, you know, look what we just did pandemically wise, where we've gone for the last 2 years. We got this COVID response. We got people sheltered in. That is going to cause some huge elements of sugar responses. And we're starting to see that across the board as diabetes starts to increase and more problems. We're going to have that with this kind of thing that we went through.
Well, what I want our listeners to understand is that when they think about excessive amounts of sugar in the body, you can think about, you know, what's obvious. You can think about, I'm going to put on too much weight and I'm going to get excessive fat. It's going to cause my blood sugars to go high, so my body is going to have other problems. And, you know, they know that, but sometimes they don't realize what the other problems are. And it can be far ranging, from vision problems and cardiovascular and blood pressure and the inability to function mentally, cognitively at very high levels. The list actually goes on. There's huge numbers of things, symptoms, if you will, that are associated with blood sugar transport, but the addiction, the craving of blood sugar. But let's talk about that a little bit, because we're starting out saying this is an addictive process, and it's one that is throughout our society. What, why, how? You said a little bit about, you know, the opioid response in the brain, but what does that really mean? How can our listeners really get their heads around that?
Well, again, you know, this thing is when we eat certain types of foods, it makes us feel good for a short period of time when our energy is low, and can I get a jolt? Can I get my sugar high to get me back up? The problem is the body doesn't do well in a roller coaster, so to speak. It's kind of like we have this, we eat something, we feel better, and all of a sudden, after a period of time, the body adjusts to it. And sometimes there's something called insulin, which is a hormone that actually helps grab the sugar to try to put it in the cell. And sometimes that maybe do that too quick, depending on the type of sugars we have. That's another thing, is the types of sugars that we go over in the show quite a bit. But when you get that going in too fast, too quick, then it drops down, and all of a sudden we're like, oh, I don't feel so good. I got that upper again. I need to get that upper again. So we just go back up. Do I need another cup of coffee? Do I need another bite of a candy bar? Do I need the, then all of a sudden we're up and down, and all of a sudden, like, you know, maybe in the mid afternoon, it's an overload in my body. And, you know, I feel like I don't, like 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I want to go to sleep. I just can't handle it. So, but it does hit these neurotransmitters. And the question is we need fuel, we need sugar, but it's always an aspect of how controlling small amounts. And that's the whole element. And I think we can also look at controlling sugars in the sense how fast it gets into our system. We can slow that roller coaster effect by doing various things to kind of slow it up. There's ways to do that and approach it.
Well, the interesting thing, you know, you said that we do need some sugar, but it's not the sugar that we take in from our dietary sources. It's right. Actually fats that we need that are converted in our body to sugars that yeah. your brain needs, your heart needs, yeah. and the neurological system and so forth. So I want to make sure that people understand okay. that.
Yeah, it's the type, when I was talking about before, is types of sugars. So we're going to look about, yeah, so everything breaks down to sugar. Fats go thing. You talk about there's some diets out there. There's a keto-based diet. There's things in regards to intermittent fasting and those kind of elements that take foods and break them down. The thing I'm talking about, the things that get into your body too quick, too fast, I use the analogy of it's kind of like a soccer game, and you're a vendor at an event. And at the soccer game, you're the only vendor in halftime, and then there's a mob scene. They're all coming at you at one time. The body just can't deal with all those people making all those orders. In this sense, the vendor is the cell, and the crowd is more the sugar trying to get in. And the body says, I can't do this. It's too much. Let's shut down the doors. I can't handle this. It's called insulin resistance. Now, if we had it controlled line by line, and that's also the type of sugar that you have, these sugars, there'll be things called like glycemic index. How fast did it get into the body? And we choose these sweet things to get the quick high, and that's not what you want because the body can't deal with this huge rush. So we have this thing called insulin resistance, which, you know, you have things where you hear about things like diabetes and pre-diabetics. Well, pre-diabetics are insulin resistance, and their abilities to handle that start to break down, and all of a sudden they become diabetic. So it's really the type of sugar, and you're right, Tom. You go, say, can I do something to tell the body to go after fats or other or maybe some proteins to break those down and keep it nice and slow, and you have a nice even wave instead of having these huge waves of food coming in. If you can control it in a nice slow way, and there's certain types of food tops, fiber is a thing of that. We can talk about how fiber can tie things up, and also the choices that we make. Make it a nice, easy flow instead of like a hurricane coming at you.
You know, it's an interesting situation. We have patients coming in and they complain of many different types of problems from, you know, my brain doesn't work, I can't concentrate. You mentioned earlier what happens, you know, is that if they get that afternoon crash or, you know, they want to go to sleep, all those are blood sugar transport conditions. You know, a patient that's starts to notice these fat placking elements on their skin. It's those hard little, like a lot of people will lovingly call them the carbuncles I'm forming. A lot of that, not always, but often, that's a result of your body's inability to metabolize blood sugars, and it converts it into fat and so forth. And it can go both ways. But the interesting piece is that we talk about the blood sugar system as it relates to diabetes and pre-diabetic conditions and hypoglycemia and so forth, but we don't realize how far-reaching this problem can really be as it manifests other conditions. I want to let everybody know we're talking about public enemy number one, your sugar addiction, and Dr. Scott Lamp, who will be your presenter this Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. at the Results Center for Healing in Fairfax, is my guest today and your host this coming Wednesday evening. This is a situation that we can talk about actually for a long time. Let's talk about an element that has to do with the storage of fat in the liver. When they talk about fatty livers, does that have to do with sugar as well?
Absolutely. And the thing is like the body stores sugar in different places. It stores, there's a little bit of stored actually in muscles, there's some in the kidneys, there's some, and actually liver is a storage area too. The problem is when you get overabundance of it. So what happens then is actually starts storing in the liver. And, you know, eventually over a period of time, you start functioning, the liver functions, you can break down the liver over a period of time. And you get hardening of the liver, which is sometimes there's no rebound after over a period of time, is because you're just constantly depositing more and more things in that spot. You know, you talked about other organ systems, and, you know, the main organ that makes insulin is going to be the pancreas. The other factor is that I call it one side of the horse. The other side of the horse is that if you're putting so much effect on insulin going up and down and so much pressure on that pancreas, you're also going to have to affect the digestive enzymes on the other side. And so now we get this whole litany of things that could be associated with even digestive problems. Bloating, burping, belching. Sometimes we think about that acid situations, but also we've got to have a depletion of enzymes just to digest. You can be nauseous. That could also happen for multiple different reasons for sugar, but one could be also you get a problem in the pancreas.
You know, the interesting thing is that when we get too much sugar, it's stored in our body as fat. Yeah. And in, particularly in the liver and in the muscle fibers and so forth. And that's a glycogen storage, if you will. Mm-hmm. It's broken down into, if you will, glycerol and, you know, or it's a fatty acid carbon chain, if my memory serves me well. And then that's converted into sugar, into glucose, correct?
Right.
The piece is that that's the body's supposed to use that first. But when we eat sugar, your body's going to use the first available source of that. And that's what you're putting in your mouth if you've already got too much built up in the system.
Right.
And so what I'd like to get into as we go through the program today is I'd like to talk about how this sugar addiction, if you will, the craving of sugar, because we see so much of this. You know, years ago, sugar was treated very much like a condiment in the house. It was generally about 14 to 15 pounds of sugar per person per year was consumed. But then today we're talking about 150 to 160 pounds. Scott, we're coming up to a break in the program. I want to continue the process. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. My guest, Dr. Scott Lamp, we're talking about public enemy number one, sugar addiction. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rizzo. You listen to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. Indeed, we are. You're listening to a fascinating program that was asked for. What we're talking about is one that's called public enemy number one, sugar addiction. And the creator of that program, and I think this is the third time we've delivered it over a period of several years, Dr. Scott Lamp. Our number here at the studio is 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to have you as our guest this Wednesday evening, the 27th, at the Rizzo Center for Healing. All you have to do to register for that class is go online at rozellecare.com. Scroll down. You'll see the ad for it. It's kind of a weird looking ad, and just click the button, register, and give us a way to contact you so we can reserve your seat, or simply call 703-698-7117. And you can do it by voice. That's the old fashioned way. I like that. That's my way of doing things. Anyway, welcome back, Scott. Let's get into it a little bit more and talk about, you know, the varied relationships of, you know, this addiction. We talked about that in this country, in Western society, we consume about 160 pounds of sugar per person per year. And, you know, we said that some of us don't eat a lot of sugar. Guess what's happening with the rest of it? Somebody's eating it, right?
Absolutely. And I mentioned you before, like how much flour is being consumed on top of that. So, yep. I mean, it's like 146 pounds or whatever. So it's somebody's getting it all. And unfortunately, a lot of times you can see the people who are not hiding it well.
You think?
Yep, so to speak. So, but, you know, Tom, we're talking about different things and, you know, how many different parts of sugar are a problem. One is just, I mean, how we store it and things like that. But then if we get into insulin resistance, we also have things where it's pervasive in the blood. It's something called an oxidative stress. It's kind of like, think about like when you have iron, you don't put paint on it, rusts. And that itself causes a lot of different additional problems for a lot of different systems. And again, you can light that back to like memory problems. You can go back to things like, do I have some numbness and tingling in my, you know, in my feet or my hands? Because the blood is just thick, you know, it's thickens up and creates problems. And we have things when we talk about nerves have myelin that goes around and that helps make the conduction of the nervous system going from, you know, make the electrical signal go through, that gets damaged by this stuff. The oxidation damage happens with that. And, you know, I talked about previously before about what happens in the intestinal lining. And you know very, very well in the things you talk about, it's like the tight junctions that hold the endothelial cells in the digestive tract. It keeps you from having a leaky gut. Well, part of the leaky gut is this. It's also going to be also sugar related.
Yeah, we get into the second half of the program. You and I talked a little bit about the microbiome patterns and some of the things that happen there. But what I want people to understand is, you know, and particularly what you said about neuropathic pain, neuropathy, or diabetic neuropathy. Number one, you can start showing signs of neuropathic problems before you are declared a diabetic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we talk about neurology, like what's some of the first things you start losing? And usually a pathway that I look at is one is like the always like to check people's toes. It's like you can feel pressure on your feet, but you might start losing vibrational sense. You know, and that's why we sometimes in an examination, we'll take a tuning fork and put it on your toes and say, okay, can you feel the pressure of the tuning fork? But then can you feel the vibration? And they're like, well, I can feel the pressure, but I can't feel the vibration. That's the start of breakdown of losing your vibrational sense. It's usually the first thing that happens.
Yeah, it's significant because now you're going to lose gait patterns as well.
Well, on top of that, well, the secondary phase that happens too is you start losing a sense of light touch, but also proprioceptive sense. And what proprioceptive sense is, your balance. You're not going to be able to balance well. I know we have some new procedures we're doing in the office currently. One is which I think it was amazing to do. It's kind of like sound therapy, and you know what I'm talking about. They call it the D-actor in our office. And I had a person that had 10 years worth of workman's comp and basically neuropathies in his hands and feet. And we were able to get some of that back. The first thing that came back was he could actually go downstairs without any support.
Hold that thought, Scott. We're coming up to a break. You know, this is a process we could dig into, and I want to get people to really understand how devastating this possibly is. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live. We're talking about public enemy number one, your sugar addiction. Don't go away. We'll be right back after some very important questions and information.
Dr. Tom Rizal Live continues now on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rizal here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live. We have a very fascinating program, one that should get your attention very quickly. We're talking about public enemy number one, the sugar addiction, and it's one that kind of invades every aspect of our life, and that's one we need to really understand more in depth. We have a country that is becoming overfat, but that overfatness is coming because of something that we're consuming in high quantities. Two things, actually. One that Dr. Scott brought up, carbohydrates and flour, but the first one is sugar, refined processed sugar, regular sugars, artificial sugars. The body doesn't know the difference. It stimulates the same pathways. And I want to get into that a little bit, Dr. Scott, as we go through the problem. We're here at 888-630-9625. Dr. Scott will be your presenter, your host this Wednesday evening at the Results Center for Healing. Love to have you as our guest. All you have to do is go online at rosellecare.com to register, or simply call the office at 703-698-7117. If you have a question right now on anything that may be affecting you, we talked about sugar causing all kinds of problems between brain function, obviously cognitive patterns. We're talking about even cardiovascular disease and inflammatory reactions. Scott, that brings up a question. The information that we're seeing today, meaning now currently, is that cardiovascular disease and diabetes is on the rise. It's going crazy. This last year, year and a half, it's like somebody took a rocket and just blasted both of them off the pad. Does this have anything to do with what we've seen through COVID and the vaccines and so forth?
Well, absolutely. I think we talked about before is when you have the means of what we call this adrenal element, that's the adrenals are a part of our thing. That's our primary hormone that helps us survive. But if we're in that flight or flight response, we're going to also create pieces of our body into sugar so the body can feel like it can run away. But all of a sudden we have so much of it, it happens. We can't utilize it. So it actually has to now be stored or create problems. And I think when you talk about, there's two ways you look at the blood system. We just talked about before the oxidative damage that destroys or irritates the arterial lining of the small and large vessels. But on the top of that, you also have a thickening of the blood, which means that now it's hypertension forms. You've got more resistance. It's harder to move things through these conduits. And so it makes more problems. And now I've got high blood pressure, vascular problems escalating. And again, if we don't have means to relax the body and exercise and go out, we're told to stay indoors and we don't do these things. And on top of that, you know, I remember you talking about something where the white blood cells that we have to fight things in the body's stress, the body doesn't make immune cells. So all of a sudden our white blood cell ability gets less, doesn't work as well. And it just compounds on itself where we can't be constantly under stress. Stress makes everything else worse. It just plain does. And then that's where we're going to see blood pressure is going up. Diseases, probably Alzheimer's, are going to be spiking. Diabetes, obviously, where we're talking about, that's going to be going up higher. And strokes and all those kind of things are going to be going because of how it can hit different ways and compound itself.
Well, you know, you brought up the white blood cell piece, and that's something that I've lectured on for years, and simply this: one teaspoon of white sugar or processed sugar decreases the white blood cell ability to fight, to respond by huge amounts. We're talking about something like 15 to 20% for a period of time. It's awful what takes place. Now you keep compounding that and you put more on top of it. And pretty soon your body's just sitting there waiting to get beat up, just like in a heavyweight fight, except you're not a heavyweight. The virus is, the bacteria is, the mold, the fungus is. And, you know, you feed all these other pieces that love that sugar. One is mold and fungus. You know, if you have an old problem and this byproduct is aldehyde, which is alcohol, and you feed sugar, into your system at even a moderate level, you never, ever, ever can get control of it. And it's probably in my career the most difficult thing to treat. But Dr. Scott, let's talk a little bit about the inflammatory reaction that sugar causes as it relates to chronic pain, muscular pain, back pain, migraine, headaches of any kind, tingling, numbness. You talked a little bit about neuropathic pain, but there's a lot of consistency and similarities along that pathway.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like a feedback loop. I think when you have pain or you have some trauma of some sort and the body has pain, that itself releases cortisols and things of that nature, which also puts other sugars, which then again brings in the sugar problem, which can now start breaking things down farther and cause more inflammatory elements. And I think it's amazing to me, you know, it's like we're chiropractors at our core. But one of the things that's interesting is when I have somebody come in and they've never been adjusted before, how much, if you open up the joint spaces, that they feel lighter. They're like, I feel lighter. Why do I feel lighter? Because you're not putting so much of this constant pressure in the body to hold something or hold this entrapment, and over a period of time, it doesn't need to hold it. It needs to be released. And the body's putting so much energy into it and tightness that it's actually taking energy from other places of the body to maintain that, to make that open up. And then when you do have pain, you get a cortisol response, which is putting more sugar in the system. So the thing is you have to hit this really in multiple ways. How am I doing structurally? How do I get the structural part and take some of that pressure off, taking that cortisol reaction and kind of bringing that down? How do I get my head, you know, in a more of a positive place where I'm not feeling I'm stressed out so much? And then chemically, when I'm inducing, and one of the things we haven't talked about, I mean, we keep on talking about sugar. There's a lot of hidden sugars.
Yeah,
we haven't really talked about, you know, and the things like starches and things. And like people think of, like, it's to this day, I got people coming in saying, oh, you know, I just don't have much sugars. I just eat a whole bunch of bread and stuff. I'm like, you know, they're not educated. They just don't understand what that is.
No, because Fifth Avenue Marketing doesn't want them to understand that there is that correlation. You know, I want to get into that because that's a real specific topic that people need to understand about. But sugar addiction, the transport of sugar, or the inability of the body to transport sugar into metabolized sugar, causes an inflammatory reaction. And that causes the achiness, the stiffness in the joint spaces, the achy muscles, the migraines, the irritation of asthma with women, premenstrual syndromes.
You can't get blood flow. A lot of this stuff needs blood flow to circulate to feed it. And then so on top of that, it's thickened. You got that on top of that. So it's there's so many different ways that this has to come in. Again, we need energy. We need things. We need to have things of the body be able to break sugars down up there. But we come across it like almost like an atomic bomb. We got all this stuff coming in and it's like, we don't need all this. And it's amazing. It's like, you know, you got a little fat on your body. You know what that is? That's stored energy. Let's figure out how to get rid of that. That'll give you energy if you know how to break it down the right way.
So here's the situation. You talk about energy and the ability of the body to convert this, because when you consume sugar, your body needs vitamin B complexes, it needs zinc, it needs chromium. There's a lot of things that it takes away from other systems. But sugar's on top of the list as far as a pro-inflammatory element that causes joint space damage, if you will, over a period of many years. And that pro-inflammatory cascade, if you will, is the thing that we're talking about. And we need to make sure that people understand that when you come to us or somebody else and you're dealing with pain patterns, that if you don't get rid of the things that cause the inflammation, the inflammatory result, no matter what you do, you never get rid of the pain. It never goes away. It's like taking a drug. It helps for a little while, but maybe it's not going to do the rest of it. Additionally, you know, flus, the common cold, if you will, viral patterns like we just went through, or even bacterial infections, those things can get into your system and cause body pain. And what we don't realize is the dietary patterns that are heavy with sugar, that 160 pounds of sugar per year per person, causes these things to be far more deadly and devastating and pain productive because of the inflammation than we even begin to realize.
It creates an invitation. I think that's one of the things, is taking a look at how often do we have viruses and things like that we talk about in the office, like things like Epstein-Barr. That's a virus that seems to be affected, and everybody under the age of 21 has it, and it seems to be associated with a lot of the autoimmune diseases. But the problem is again, you know, sugar can actually weaken our systems and let these things kind of walk in, which they wouldn't necessarily have. You know, the United States is in a pro-inflammatory state. I think the country is in a pro-inflammatory state. You know, Tom, I always do these. I always talk about blue zone. I always go back to the blue zone. But it's the purpose. We should have a research facility, not in somebody's pharmaceutical places, I guess we do in Loma Linda. There's some research facilities actually in California currently right now, is look at these people who have got it right. You know, who's the people that live a higher ratio of 100-year-olds than anywhere else in the world. And they've got these five locations that was done, you know, they did a research thing, I think it was from National Geographic, and about 20-some-odd years ago. It could be longer than that. But these places all have a similar type thing they do. And it's like the sugar is really low. They do exercise. Family's important. Low stress. They do a lot of oils. There are oils like fish oils, and they're on the coast eating good quality fish and getting fish oils. And these things, and there's not like, where's the nursing homes in these places?
Yeah, you know, it's very few.
Very few, if any. And it's like, why don't we just look at what they do and just, okay, repeat and do. But we have a hard time doing it. And again, you know, it's the advertising and everything else that's out there.
You know, some years ago, I wrote a paper, a white paper called Fibromyalgia, the UN disease, UN. And it was because that at the time I wrote it, there was no real clear understanding about what fibromyalgia was. It's not a joint problem. There's many other different pieces of it, but a lot of the signs and symptoms, people started out, you know, very, very tired. They couldn't get it back. Their energy went away. They had trouble sleeping, depression. Everybody's sitting out there. Oh my God, that's me. Do I have fibromyalgia? Their memory starts going, the headaches and the muscle pain, chronic pain that is unremitted for 3 months. That's according to the American College of Rheumatology. But what the interesting pathway was is that anything that affected pro-inflammatory reactions within the body, i.e. sugar, even back then, was a kickstart, a jumpstart, if you will, with this chronic pain pattern. Even today, we see pain started from little injuries, sometimes major injuries that should be resolvable, but are never resolved because of this transport situation. And then you get into what you were talking about earlier with the neuropathic pains and so forth. When you look at a patient that comes into the office, Dr. Scott, and you're examining them and they're complaining about, you name the pain pattern, it doesn't make any difference what it is. How often, as a percentage, would you think that the chronicity of the problem relates to what we're talking about as far as the sugar addiction? And we know that there are many kinds of sugars. I want to talk about that a little bit as well, the hidden sugars. But how often is that associated with what you're seeing in front of you?
I mean, 90% plus, easy. I mean, there's always going to be a sugar, some type of problem that's generally associated with it. I have somebody who's very young coming in and they're very healthy and an athlete, and we just have to go with just dealing with like a sprained ankle or something of that nature. And you check their diet and they're doing okay, but generally it's 90 plus, easy.
Wow, that's incredible. Easy. Let's get back into that little piece about the hidden sugars. We know that carbohydrates convert into sugar, especially if they're refined. But what else are we talking about relative to our normal SAD diet, standard American diet?
Yeah, I think people, you know, like in starches, you know, there's starches which are also sugars too. You know, people have to learn, and that's again, you know, the manipulation of the label on the side. You know, I ask people, that's a question like, how many sugars? You know, if I read something, I'll show them and I've got a little thing in one of my drawers in the office, and I'll just show them like, okay, tell me how many sugars are in here. And they'll look at it and say, well, it says sugars 15 grams. And say, well, what about the carbohydrate? What's that number say? And it's 30 grams. And so do you think carbohydrates are sugars? And some half the population said no. And it's like, no, that's the number you use. That's the sugars you have. It's 30. It's not 15. You just double the load that you think you think you have. So it's like there's these hidden things that are in there. The other unfortunate thing is, you know, some of these food additives or sweeteners that can actually just be as detrimental, even sometimes worse, when you add them to the system. You're telling the body to say that sugar's coming in, some of these sweeteners and whatnot, and it doesn't come in, so it makes you more hungry. So it stimulates a hunger response to go after this stuff. You remember, I don't know how long ago it was, maybe 20, maybe 30 years ago. I remember when I was undergrad and people would go around and it's like, it seemed like Diet Coke got bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, we started with like a 12 ounce can, then it went into 16 ounce, 32. Then you can get the, I don't know, you can get the trough at 7-Eleven. You can get the huge bucket, you know, get the big gulp thing. And it's like, and when you looked at the person, they're like, they're not losing weight. They're probably gaining weight. And all it is that I can trick you into making this kind of taste good, but then I'm going to make you hungry afterwards. So you're never going to be satisfied. Exactly. It's a great scheme to kind of keep on getting you eating all the time.
Exactly. And, you know, and if your palate, I alluded to this earlier on, if your palate perceives sweetness, it triggers the cascade of mineralization that it needs to burn that stuff off. Yes, there's lower glycemic index foods, supposedly in transport, but from the mouth down, the neurological stimulation, your body doesn't perceive that low glycemic pattern. It says, oh, I got sugar, I've got to kick in now.
Right. And you go through the same process again. You can't fool it. You got to go back to healthy foods. No matter how much we try to fool the system, it just doesn't, you know, we keep on thinking we're smarter and we end up at the end 5 years later saying, why did we do this?
You know,
15 years later.
Yeah. In the early, you know, the early stages of trying to get somebody to shift. And that's why our nutrition department sometimes has such a difficult time supporting people. You know, they get off their stuff, but now they start eating more carbohydrates. But when they stop the sugar, when they stop the carbohydrates, they're going to get withdrawals. I mean, they're things like, you know, they're actually going to crave that sugar even more. Their headaches are going to flare for a short period of time. Their energy is going to drop. They're going to feel, oh my God, somebody just, you know, beat me up and put me in the corner. The muscle aching, the nausea, the GI symptoms, the irritability, all that stuff has to do with getting off of it. But fortunately, if it's handled properly with the right nutrition, balancing the nervous system properly, it's much less, and it's very minor, and it's very for a short period of time. This mechanism of sugar addiction is craziness.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the people out there, when you're eating something, when you eat something and you're done, do you feel more energetic? Do you feel the same, or do you feel a little tired? You should feel the same after you've eaten.
Dr. Scott, we're coming up to a break. This is fascinating. You and I deal with this all the time. I look at patients when they walk in, and sometimes within seconds you can tell, yeah, they got a problem on top of everything else. So we're gonna wrap this up a little bit. But this Wednesday evening, public enemy number one, sugar addiction. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live. We'll be right back.
News Talk 105.9.
WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rizal. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live, as you do every Sunday on the Eastern Seaboard at high noon. You know the math. For those of you listening out in the other end of the country, thank you very much. And obviously, our men and women in uniform who reach out to us during the week, it's my pleasure to get back to you, because without you, there wouldn't be us. And we appreciate that more than you possibly know. My guest today, Dr. Scott Lamp, we're talking about a program that you requested, and it's called Public Enemy Number One, Sugar Addiction. And it really is. It's devastating to what takes place. It's a precursor to so many different things, from cardiovascular disease, but chronic pain patterns, things that just never go away because of its inflammatory reaction, also predisposes to cancers and things of that nature. Dr. Scott, welcome back. This Wednesday evening is going to be a fun night, as it always is. You make things very animated and you put things together. Let's talk a little bit about what it is that you're going to cover, what people can expect, and then we'll talk a couple other things before we're done with the program.
Well, we're going to talk about some things that cause the, you know, what causes some of the damage, what are those symptoms and diseases. But I like to spend a lot of good time in regards to what are the things that you can do to prevent, what are the things you can do to help take care of some of these problems, get yourself in the right direction. And we're going to talk about certain sugars that might be things you have to take a look at, kinds of sugars, individual sugars sometimes. We'll go into Dyneema, which is an interesting little thing that we'll do a little test for people in the audience. So when you come there, it's a test to see how you handle sugars, how you can do the sugar craving. It's actually a little tool that could be used. Things you can do that with that, what kind of exercises, what kind of diets are out there, and how to do some stress reduction, because stress reduction is going to be part of that. So we're going to do hit all those little pieces that can affect your sugar handling ability and kind of give you some means to, what can I do with this? What can I do? Am I hopeless, or is there a possibility that I can get better? There's, everybody has a chance to get better. If you're breathing, Tom, you talk about that. If you're breathing, you got a chance.
Yeah, if as long as you're here, your heart's working, you're duplicating cells, and as we know, cellular replication is really an environmental impact situation, and it's called epigenetics. And what we're talking about is one of the elements that does have an impact on cellular development. You know, we talk about senescent cells or old, dead, dying cells, and the problem is that the body can't get rid of them sometimes because of the inflammatory reactions. And there's ways of getting through that through fasting patterns and resetting the system. The studies right now are showing that the body, you know, is very forgiving. It's what we've been saying for years. As long as you can duplicate cells, as long as you can make new situations, we're seeing people, you know, express themselves differently. Sugar is one of those things that will stop the beauty of the expression of the body. Dr. Scott, when we're dealing with a patient that has the symptoms, and I want to touch upon this just a little bit, and suddenly we're getting information that's coming out on the on all the talking heads that a year and a half ago said wasn't true, that there's all these side effects for the vaccines, there's the side effects from having had COVID, the long haulers and so forth. How much of an impact, and I'm going to take it to your position, how much of an impact does sugar and blood transport and carbohydrate metabolism, in your opinion, have to do with this?
Well, again, the stress mechanism that happens with this, and then you've got some things with the spike protein they're talking about. Is there some coagulation type problems associated with that? There's some evidence that's showing that, pushing towards that. You add a sugar problem to that, and you're just exponentially making a worse and worse problem because of all the oxidative damage that's additionally put on top of that with the sugar. I mean, it's adding more fuel to the fire. That's what you're doing with the COVID response. I mean, and not only just from the disease, the process itself, but also the psychological input that's put on top of that. And you add sugar to it. And, you know, and when we're feeling down, hey, I need to have some type of comfort food, and I get comfort food thrown on top of this. I mean, it's bad.
Yeah, it really is. And people don't realize the sugar and sugar-like situations. Sometimes they think, well, I'm drinking fruit juice. Well, fruit juice is just as bad. I mean, our kids growing up, we never let them have a glass of juice. We gave them maybe 3-4 ounces at the most once a day. The rest of it was water. Yeah. And we'd make them sip on, you know, 12 ounces of water and juice together. Anything that is refined, any carbohydrate that's in your diet, you got to drop that stuff down because that itself perpetuates the inflammatory cascade.
And then even nature's telling you what to do there. I mean, just nature, you don't come across a glass of orange juice. You come across the orange. What's in the orange? You've got fiber. You've got other things that are there. When we take some of this stuff out, we lose some of the elements that help us digest or work on this stuff. We left it alone. Where do you find it in nature? You find the fruit, you eat the fibers, you eat some of those things. You should have an orange, not a glass of orange juice that might have 8 oranges in it. You know, it's squeezed in it. And even the fact when we talk about sugar, A processed sugar, if I have sugar cane and I cut it in the field, it dies. It dies. But if I process it and I take all the elements that degrade that, part of those degradation type materials are also some things that help us digest things. They're not there anymore. They're taken away. And now I got this white powder that'll last for years. But it doesn't have the minerals. It doesn't have the vitamins. It doesn't have all the things. And it's almost like you're being mugged.
Well, go ahead. You know, as I've told people, if you want to repair a plasterboard, all you have to do is get white flour, add a little salt and water, and now that heavy paste, make it nice and thick, put it in the hole in your wall, let it dry, sand it down, and then you can paint it. Scott, we're coming up to the end of the program. We can get into this, and I know you will this Wednesday evening. I encourage you to join us and listen to Scott. He's entertaining. He has an amazing library of information in between those ears of his. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. Remember, we do this program every week with fresh information for one reason and one reason only. We love you all. Have a great week.
Take care.